Welcome to the Talk Radio Countdown Show with Doug Steffen, counting down what America's talking about.
The Talk Radio Countdown.
What the president said was our mission, our military mission in Libya has been to protect civilians and establish a no-fly zone. But on a national basis, we obviously have an important interest in seeing Gaddafi step down and the people of Libya have the opportunity to determine their own future.
Does that include arming the rebels?
Those steps include squeezing Gaddafi's resources and cutting off his money, his mercenaries, his arms, providing assistance to the rebels the opposition, engaging in a political process, as Secretary Clinton is doing today in London, to chart with our Arab and European partners a post-Gaddafi Libya.
So that could include some
process.
Military support.
We have not made that decision, George, but we've not certainly ruled that out.
That's U.S. Ambassador to the U.N. Susan Rice talking to George Stephanopoulos on Good Morning America about the possibility of giving arms to the rebels in their fight against Gaddafi. That's where we start this hour of the Talk Radio Countdown Show. First up, though, from News Talk Television and Radio, the various points of view on Fox, Brian Kilmeade and Gretchen Carlson and Steve Doocy talked to Senator McCain.
United Nations Ambassador Susan Rice said that the United States is not ruling out arming the Libyan rebels.
Joining us right now to react to this news and so much more, Arizona Republican, ranking member of the Armed Services Senate Committee, Senator John McCain. Senator, welcome back.
Thank you. Good to be back with you all.
Senator, not much surprises you, but were you surprised that the ambassador would indicate that we'd consider arming the rebels? Does that make sense?
Oh, I think it makes sense. They're obviously outgunned, and if it was not for our the provision of U.S. and allied air power, they would be have been defeated long ago. But by the way, if we had imposed a no-fly zone 3 weeks ago, Gaddafi would be gone by now. But yeah, they're obviously outgunned.
Well, Senator McCain, let me ask you this. Do you know who the rebels are?
Sure. One of them is a former, the leader is a former justice minister. They've met with Hillary Clinton. They are recognized now by Qatar and by France. There are a group of people from all over Libya that represent the Libyan people. Do I know them well? No, because they've been under the boot of a brutal dictator.
But my question is, do you trust the rebels enough to feel comfortable with the United States arming them?
Absolutely, as opposed to the dictator who murdered at one time about 1,000 of his own people that has American blood on his hands and has promised that if he wins, he'll go house to house and massacre people who oppose him. Absolutely.
Yeah. Senator, let me ask you this. If the administration is considering now arming the rebels as they march on Tripoli, that would have been a great thing for the president to bring up last night. Why do you think he didn't?
I think it's because of his emphasis on, which is incomprehensible to me, on not using force to overthrow Gaddafi. And he obviously doesn't understand that if we don't overthrow Gaddafi, we risk a stalemate, which would be like the one in Iraq after Operation Desert Storm lasted right. 10 years and did not remove Saddam Hussein from power. But by the way, I think the administration is relying on and hoping for a coup that would remove Gaddafi from within. I hope that happens. I'm just not sure it will.
Talk host Dave Ross thought the president delivered a pretty important message this week, although he didn't actually say it out loud.
This is not about regime change. And notice, he didn't even call it a war. He called it a military mission, sort of a big helping hand from the sky. I wonder why.
If we tried to overthrow Gaddafi by force, our coalition would splinter. We would likely have to put U.S. troops on the ground to accomplish that mission. The dangers faced by our men and women in uniform would be far greater. So would the costs and our share of the responsibility for what comes next.
Do you get it? Do you understand what he's describing?
To be blunt, we went down that road in Iraq. That is not something we can afford to repeat in Libya.
Instead of a commander-in-chief laying out what he will do, this was a commander-in-chief laying out what he will not do. For members of Congress who keep asking the president what victory will look like, you're asking the wrong guy. His focus isn't on victory. His focus is on not creating another Iraq. And the Libyan rebels, who see Gaddafi hiding his tanks among civilians and generally not playing fair, need to understand that. The president is warning us here in America not to expect a victory. And he's warning the rebels that this is not Iraq. I am not George Bush, and the ground troops are not coming.
Coming up on the countdown, more analysis of the president's speech from this week. Hosts and politicians are weighing in on whether we ought to be in Libya, the extent of our involvement, all that on the Talk Radio Countdown Show.
Adventurous Americans, maybe you own a motorcycle, a boat, an RV, a PWC, or an ATV. Well, FYI, GEICO could save you money on insuring those vehicles. And here's how easy it is. You call GEICO and speak with a specialized agent about all the vehicles you own. The agent crunches the numbers. And if you're like thousands of others, your rate is less than what you pay now. And where I come from, paying less means saving money. Call GEICO today for a free rate quote. GEICO, saving people money on more than just car insurance.
I just saved on my favorite
diapers, so I bought my baby a new
chainsaw, and they marked down the best nail
polish, two for the price of one.
People love to talk about great deals, and if you talk to your neighbors, some of them are bound to tell you about State Farm. Thanks to discounts of up to 40%, switching to State Farm could save you hundreds. No wonder 40 million drivers trust State Farm. That's more drivers than Geico and Progressive combined. So ask a neighbor, then go to discountdoublecheck.com or call 1-800-STATE-FARM.
Discount percentage and availability may vary by state.
Live from Progressive,
it's time for Tips from Flo.
Tips from Flo.
Here's a tip about our loyalty program.
Loyalty program.
The savings don't stop when you switch. You're automatically enrolled on day one, and you keep earning great discounts and benefits. And it's free.
It's free.
Are you just repeating everything I say?
Kinda.
Rewarding loyalty. Now that's Progressive.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and its affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio. Cumulative benefits are limited. Not available in all states and situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Listen up, ladies. Right now, Bare Minerals by Bare Essentials is inviting you to participate in a special nationwide giveaway of the mineral makeup everyone's talking about. That's right. We're letting everyone who calls try America's number one mineral makeup risk-free. Just call 1-800-507-3985 to find out how. This is an exclusive radio-only offer you don't want to miss. You've probably heard about Bare Minerals Foundation. It was quoted in Glamour Magazine as a magic eraser. Allure Magazine, InStyle, and Elle Magazines, and Leaders in Beauty continue to rave about how Bare Minerals Foundation is naturally radiant and good for your skin. Now you can participate in our nationwide giveaway and see for yourself. Bare Minerals, makeup so pure you can sleep in it. Experience the foundation that started the makeup revolution. Participate in this special opportunity to try Bare Minerals Foundation risk-free. We'll also send you a free gift set. Just call 1-800-507-3985 now. Hurry, you don't want to miss this exclusive radio offer. 1-800-507-3985.
When you're considering buying your first home, at Wells Fargo, we're with you. Come by Wells Fargo today and we'll sit with you, answer all your questions, and work with you step by step through the process of buying your first home. A Wells Fargo Priority Buyer Pre-Approval lets real estate agents and sellers know you're a serious buyer because you're credit approved. That way, you'll be ready to go out and make an offer with confidence. Call, click, or stop by Wells Fargo today. Wells Fargo. Together, we'll go far. Wells Fargo Home Mortgage is a division of Wells Fargo Bank N.A., Equal Housing Lender.
Doug Steffen here, reviewing what's hot on talk radio and talk television, the left and the right, political talk radio on MSNBC. Chris Jansing talks to former New Mexico Governor Bill Richardson, who served as Energy Secretary and Ambassador to the UN, about the way the president is handling our involvement there.
Did the president answer your questions about the mission and the end game?
Yes, he did. He was very presidential. He was clear. He was strong. Probably should have given this address sooner. But at the same time, he said it's a limited mission. It's mainly a NATO mission. We're participating with help in the area of airstrikes. We've averted a humanitarian disaster. And our goal of the international community is to move Gaddafi aside.
But he's not willing to commit ground troops to do that. He wants to stay, at least he says we're staying within the limits of the UN Security Council resolution. Hillary Clinton right now is in London in meetings, but is this going to work? Can diplomacy, can pressure, what's the indication that'll get Muammar Gaddafi to step down?
Well, I think that we've entered an era of instant gratification. This operation, I think, has been going on only for about 9 days. The rebels are making some gains.
But it's the president, Governor, who said it was going to be very limited.
Well, it is limited. I think you're going to even see less American participation in the days ahead. More of a NATO participation, more French, more Italian, more British. Hopefully you'll get some Arab countries, some African countries involved. And the rebels are making some gains. Look, Gaddafi is very unpredictable. He's also a madman who is trying to kill his own people and cling on to power. I believe that the end game is his ousting, but it's going to happen mainly through countries in the region. NATO, it's a security issue for NATO in North Africa, in the Mediterranean, and the U.S. as a leader of NATO is participating. That's what the president explained last night.
But you know NATO from the inside. You know how this works, not just from your years in the administration, but obviously as the ambassador. Look at the breakdown so far. There have been 178 coalition sorties. 99 of them have come from the United States. 107 airstrikes, half of them from the United States. I mean, clearly we're the muscle behind this. Do you believe that we can back off significantly?
Well, the president said we are. He said as of Wednesday, it's going to become a NATO operation. So there will be a reduction of American participation. But look, these initial airstrikes to get the no-fly zone, it's our Air Force. It's our men and women that are the best at. And so they did the initial strikes. I think you're going to see a reduction. I think you're also going to see more military participation by other countries, by other NATO nations, by African countries, I believe also some of the Arab League nations. And again, I don't see how Gaddafi can survive this. It's probably going to take a little time, but I think his own people, his own military, are going to probably move him aside because it's a failing battle for them. And Libya is an important nation in North Africa. They provide about 2% of the world's energy supply. And I just don't understand this partisanship and impatience with a policy of America to stop a carnage of human beings. We should have intervened in Rwanda. We did it eventually in Bosnia. There is a case for military assistance in a limited way to prevent massacres, and this is what the president did.
In North Carolina, talk host Bob Freeman talked to CBS's Dottie Lynch about what she got out of the president's speech.
Dottie, I always like to talk to you after one of these speeches to kind of get your feedback. What did you think?
Well, basically, I think he made a very strong appeal for limited engagement in it, and that was, I think, probably the strongest part of the speech of why Libya and why now. The little less clear was what about other countries, ever, never, you know, what's going to happen with Syria and other places where we don't like what's going on. But in terms of making a rationale for why going into Libya and why doing it in this limited fashion, I think he was actually quite strong.
Donnie, was this speech aimed at the American public, the world, or at his political opponents who keep saying that they weren't consulted?
Well, I think in particular the American public. They know from the polling that's been done in the last few days that the public is generally supportive, but they don't understand the goals and they are very war-weary and worried about getting into a long, protracted engagement. So I think in particular it was targeted there. It was also targeted at some of the critics on the left by making that very strong statement about the need to go in for humanitarian reasons and to stop the slaughter of innocent people. I think they were the people that he was particularly concerned about, but got a lot of criticism from Republicans and people who think this should be a more sweeping statement and that he waited too long to do this.
As you were listening to the speech, did anything catch your attention that surprised you? You sat up and said, "What was that?"
Well, I think just generally the fact that it's still a little bit unclear what our goal is, and I think part of the problem is they don't want to say the goal is to get rid of Gaddafi, although they've said over and over that he's unacceptable. But the fact that he wasn't a little bit clearer on the goal, I think, was surprising.
Coming up, we're going to hear from a correspondent who's over in Libya to get the Libyans' reaction to the speech when our talk radio review continues.
Alex has told you about the terrible perfect storm of rising food prices. The Japanese tragedy proves how important food is. Our own gas prices are driving food costs through the roof. The huge population countries are buying up American unprotected exports of food. The falling dollar is inflating food prices. Ethanol subsidies are driving fuel and food costs to all-time highs. We are experiencing the greatest explosion of food shortages and food prices America has ever seen. Folks, you have to freeze the cost and availability of your food now. Through March 31st, eFoods Direct has free shipping on all orders. You can freeze the cost and availability of your food and have it shipped free. Call 800-409-5633 on the web eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. Free shipping ends March 31st. 800-409-5633 on the web eFoodsDirect.com/Alex.
Hi, this is Alex Jones. Did you know that the global elite are now storing non-hybrid seeds in secret storage vaults near the Arctic Circle? Did you know that in a real meltdown, non-hybrid seeds can become more valuable than silver or gold? It's true, seeds have outperformed even gold and silver before in this country, and it's possible that could even happen again. So our friends at Solutions from Science have put together the perfect mix of non-hybrid seeds. They call it a survival seed bank, and it can produce an endless supply of nutrient-dense food for you and your family. And here's the best part. These seeds have not been genetically modified in any way, and you actually get enough seeds to plant a full acre crisis garden. So visit them today at survivalseedbank.com. That's survivalseedbank.com, or give them a call at 877-327-0365. That's 877-327-0365. Remember, in a real crisis, non-hybrid seeds are the ultimate barter item. This is Alex Jones for survivalseedbank.com.
We're counting down what America's talking about. The Talk Radio Countdown Show continues.
I'm Doug Steffen, talking about what Talk Radio is talking about. And, of course, that includes the president's speech on Monday, trying to explain what's going on in Libya. Here, talk host Greg Jarrett speaks to foreign correspondent Borzu Daragai, who's just south of Tripoli, about the situation there.
How strong is Muammar Gaddafi's government at this point?
Well, in Tripoli and in the rest of the country in general, it appears quite strong. You know, I don't think that the Western effort at this point, and I stress the at this point, is aimed at using the military means to out-and-out destroy Gaddafi. What they're hoping is that the military campaign will so psychologically embolden the opposition that the Libyan people will do the rest. If that's sensible, I'm not sure.
Has Muammar Gaddafi been cited lately? Is he in a leadership by a visual presentation? Is he out in front of his people?
Well, Libyan state television claimed that he was, out in a car driving around on his own compound among his people, but we didn't see any footage of that or evidence of that. There was a televised appearance that he gave a few days ago, but that appearance as well was not independently confirmed as to where he was and when he made his speech.
We've all seen pictures of after World War II of German cities and Japanese cities all bombed out hulks. What does Tripoli look like now?
I have not seen any except for a military airbase that was, hit by Christmas. So, a military target. I've not seen any damage caused by the airstrikes. Nothing, zero, in Tripoli at all.
Now, Talko's Brad Krantz and Britt Whitmire talked to Sam Donaldson about Bill Kristol's comments in the Weekly Standard praising the president.
Bill Kristol, he is very, very impressed with President Obama's speech, calling it freedom agenda embracing, not shrinking from the use of force, unapologetic. It says on this page, he gets it. That is Bill Kristol. Surprised?
Well, he's been a very great critic of President Obama on a number of stages, but remember, Bill Kristol has been for the use of military force in Iraq and Afghanistan, wherever the United States needs to display its might. And, the problem here is we're displaying it to the extent we have so far in Libya. And the president said last night that we're standing for people not being slaughtered, and he's quite correct, and that's a good American standard. But he also made clear, and Bill Kristol didn't address this, we're not going to go to the Sudan and Dufar and prevent the genocide going on there. We're not going to the Congo, to the Zaire, to Chechnya, to Myanmar, to places around the world where other dictators are slaughtering their people. This is just a special situation.
Well, but because we can't do it everywhere shouldn't mean we shouldn't do it anywhere.
That's true, but how do you pick where you do it? And what's the end game here? I think the biggest, if there's a criticism of the president's speech, which was soaring in rhetoric, and I think we all sort of went thump, thump. I did. Yes, we stand for these things. How do we get out if Gaddafi doesn't leave? If the rebels can't push him out without overt help? I mean, what happens then?
Well, your colleague Charlie Gibson, very famously about 2.5 years ago, was talking to vice presidential candidate Sarah Palin. And he asked her to articulate the Bush Doctrine, and she agreed with it. And, of course, she went, in terms of what, Charlie? So what would you say? How would you define an Obama doctrine?
Well, I don't know, because the Bush Doctrine said if we suspect we're going to be hit by someone, we have a preemptive strike. Well, I don't think we suspected that Libya was going to strike us, so that doesn't apply. So what is the Obama Doctrine? I think it's limited, as he tried to make plain last night, to our involvement, still no ground troops, to Libya. And the doctrine seems to be, we're going to prevent slaughter, and we hope the rebels can win. But at the moment, we're making it clear we're not going to force Gaddafi out ourselves using military power. And yet, when we strafe and bomb the Gaddafi forces on the theory that we're preventing slaughter of Benghazi or elsewhere, isn't that supporting the rebels?
Coming up, more hosts, more callers, and more input on Libya. Plus, we'll hear more on the latest radiation concerns from Japan when the talk radio show continues.
Time now for the final round. Mike has blue eyes, Jim has brown eyes. What does Joe have?
Bronchitis?
Correct.
Yes.
If X marks the spot,
Y folds the laundry.
Correct.
What?
How many TV episodes does Netflix let you watch instantly for only $8 a month?
As many as you want.
Correct. Watch unlimited episodes of your favorite TV shows and movies instantly for your game console or other devices. All for only $8 a month from Netflix. See terms of use.
The home is a place of belonging, comfort, and security. But for many of today's older Americans, home is where most accidents happen, like the bathroom. Now, I feel secure when I open the door, walk in, and sit down in the comfort and serenity of my very own therapeutic walk-in tub by Freedom Tubs. Their latest therapeutic walk-in safety tub offers 6 water jets, 21 air jets, an antibacterial purge system, built-in seat and safety grab bar. There's a whisper-quiet motor, and with Freedom Tubs' patented quick-drain system, the water drains from your tub in about 1 minute. Available in white or bisque. Freedom Tubs, with a Z, offers a choice of tub sizes. Call 855-72-FREEDOM now to save up to $1,000 on your Freedom Tub. But you must call or visit Freedom Tubs. That's freedomtubz.com. 855-72-FREEDOM or freedomtubz.com. Again, 855-72-FREEDOM or freedomtubz.com.
This is Troy Aikman.
And Hulk Hogan.
These days, keeping up with the Joneses isn't such a good thing if it means digging yourself into a deep hole.
But with Rent-A-Center, staying out of deep debt is easy.
Because there are never any interest charges that keep adding up.
And if you need to stop, you can.
So you'll never get in over your head.
Right now, get a special price on Whirlpool Cabrio washers and dryers. Rent to own with no long-term commitment.
Rent-A-Center, the new way to shop.
In the new economy.
See rent-a-center.com for complete details and more information on the work.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Extend your life with ExtendoVite.
My name's John. I've been having problems with my blood pressure for years. My doctor's tried everything without much success. I heard about ExtendoVite from a friend and thought, why not give it a try? It's been 3 months now. My doctor's very pleased with how my blood pressure's finally coming down. I have a lot more energy than I've had in a long time. It's working for me.
For 12 years now, I've been helping people. My name is Don Wiskin, and I want you to know Extendivite works. If you're looking for more energy, or just want to be as healthy as you can, now is the time to join the growing list of real people benefiting from Extendivite. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Making the right decisions is a challenge to investors. Are we going to see economic growth, slide into a recession, or at worst, depression? Hi, Ted Anderson from Midas Resources. We all know when a company acts irresponsibly, divesting ourselves in a move towards safety is prudent. When the market becomes volatile, U.S. treasuries are a safe haven. But what do you do when the U.S. government overextends itself and spends beyond its means? Many investors are turning toward gold as a common-sense alternative to traditional paper investments. Midas Resources has put together a powerful book titled 10 Reasons to Own Gold, discussing costs, benefits, risks, featuring full-color illustrations, weights, and measures. The book is free and can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. Paper investments are dwarfed by gold's 6,000-year history. Discover how gold may be right for you and your IRA by calling 800-686-2237. Whether buying or it's time for you to sell, the book is free. Call 800-686-2237.
Your natural organic herbal formula for heart health is Heart and Body Extract.
My name is Stan, and I'm 68 years old, and I live in Vermont. In the spring of 2003, I started to have problems with my heart. It felt like my heart was pounding, made me feel breathless. I tried many, many different things to try to get some help for myself. Nothing did anything.
Heart and Body Extract is very powerful, very effective, and works quickly.
I saw one of Sharon's ads and ordered Heart and Body Extract. I noticed a difference quickly, within days. The episodes became less frequent, and by a month had completely vanished.
Usually you find a 30-day or 60-day guarantee. Heart and Body Extract comes with a lifetime 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. Call 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
Work.
We're counting down what America's talking about. The Talk Radio Countdown Show continues.
Doug Steffen, welcome back into our Talk Radio Review. Continuing the conversation about Libya now, CNN's Anderson Cooper talks to a panel of political analysts about the president's speech and whether he said enough to convince you that our involvement in Libya is necessary.
With us now, senior political analyst David Gergen, also Anne-Marie Slaughter of Princeton University, and until last month, the State Department, where she served as director of policy planning. Also with us, Professor Fouad Ajami, the Johns Hopkins School of Advanced International Studies and the Hoover Institution, and former White House Press Secretary Ari Fleischer. Fouad, what do you think about what the president said?
I think it's the right thing at last. I think the president did a great job. I'm not a fan of President Obama. I didn't vote for him. I think he should have done this much earlier. But this is second guessing. He finally did it. And I think he answered the great questions about this intervention. And he laid out, if you will, if you want to call it the Obama doctrine of intervention, fine. If you want something less ambitious, fine. He did it. And he told us the truth. This was always about Benghazi. It was about a rescue operation that he was forced to do. And I think it's the right thing.
Anne-Marie Slaughter, what do you make? I mean, some of the big questions out there about the mission in Libya, you know, what's the goal of the U.S.? What's the exit strategy? How long will the U.S. military be involved? Are these all questions that you think the president sufficiently answered?
I think he did. I mean, you might say if he's getting criticized that heavily from both left and right, he really is striking a good balance. I think he again made clear that we went in to avoid what he described as violence on a horrific scale in Benghazi, that again, the mandate of the UN coalition that NATO is now leading is to protect Libyan civilians. I think that makes very clear what success looks like there. It means that Libyan civilians are safe. Safe in their houses, safe in their cities. At the same time, he made very clear that it is U.S. policy and the policy of many of our allies that Libya needs to have a new government that responds to the demands of the Libyan people, and that we will pursue every diplomatic and economic means to that end, and leveling the playing field militarily will certainly help.
David Gergen, if Gaddafi simply removes his military forces from around Misrata, stops shelling that city, pulls back troops to Tripoli, and just has all these armed civilians insert in other places, can the U.S., can NATO continue using air support to then try to rout his forces from Tripoli? It doesn't seem like it.
Very,
Anderson, the very fact that neither you nor I has the answer to that question, I think underscores the weakness of the Obama speech. I thought in general he made a compelling case, a very strong case for intervention itself on humanitarian grounds. He made a compelling case that the United States has helped to organize the international coalition much more rapidly than has happened in the past, as in Bosnia. And furthermore, I thought he made a compelling case that these early U.S. actions really have accomplished what the United States promised to do, and that was to stop Gaddafi from killing other people. But that's where the speech, the success of the speech ended there, because he left open all these questions about where we go from here if there's a stalemate. And there were signs today that there may be a stalemate. What are we going to do? What is NATO going to do? Who knows? I don't think anybody knows that. What is going to happen if Gaddafi hangs in there for 6 months? What do we do then? Nobody knows. What happens if Gaddafi gets forced out? What happens if the regime cracks and they turn on him and even assassinate him? What's the United States' role going to be in building a new Libya? I thought that was left cloudy, and it's going to continue the debate. But give President Obama his due. On the most important issue that he had to face, why he went in, I thought he made a very, very strong case. I agree with Fuad and with Anne-Marie.
All right, your call is at 800-510-8255. Sheila, talk radio caller from Georgia on the president.
I think he said what he needed to say, and I think he did what we needed to do. The critics about when he did it and all that, when somebody like Muammar Gaddafi says that he's going to go house to house and start murdering people, they needed to act, and he had to get all our people out of there first. There were certain steps that he had to take. Otherwise, we'd have had another hostage situation. And I think he did. He's been methodically doing the right thing all along. I pretty much knew what he was going to say, make his points about why he did what he did. But I've been following this since it started, and from the beginning, and knew that he was taking the right steps.
Here's Tom calling in from Raleigh, North Carolina, concerned about what this mission is all about.
My problem is simply this. Here we are. We're about to shut down government because we can't agree on cuts. And we're just trying to cut $100 million. I mean, come on. And here we are spending $600 million. First of all, I want to know where it's coming from. And second of all, I also heard that this money was coming from a pool of money that wasn't included in the budget, which just sounds absolutely asinine in terms of being logical, simply because the government gets money from the American people. It's coming from taxpayers, and I want to know where it's coming from and how we can justify spending that type of money.
Coming up, we'll shift the focus to Japan as more problems at a nuclear plant raise new concerns on the Talk Radio Countdown Show.
This is Troy Aikman.
And Hulk Hogan.
These days, keeping up with the Joneses isn't such a good thing if it means digging yourself into a deep hole.
But with Rent-A-Center, staying out of deep debt is easy.
Because there are never any interest charges that keep adding up.
And if you need to stop, you can.
So you'll never get in over your head.
Right now, get a special price on Whirlpool Cabrio washers and dryers. Rent to own with no long-term commitment.
Rent-A-Center, the new way to shop.
In the new economy.
See rentacenter.com for complete details and more information on the worry-free guarantee.
Shadows start to fade as the light slips through the shade. Another morning sneaking in without a sound. Rich aroma fills the air, and really nothing can compare to that first cup of Folgers going down. The best part of waking up, Folgers in your car.
Men and women, do you look in the mirror and see dark circles under your eyes? Or do you have bags? Are your eyes puffy? Do you look tired all the time? Now, there's a fix for that, a cream that can help you instantly. You get it free by calling 800-894-3302. It's called Lumitone. Rub a dab of Lumitone around your eyes, and it will reduce the look of dark circles instantly. It's amazing. You look bright and refreshed in just seconds. It doesn't stop there. Lumitone has a special ingredient that eases the appearance of your puffiness and bags. Tested and approved, this stuff works. You can get started by calling 800-894-3302. Get a free bottle. You pay a small shipping and handling fee. That's it. 800-894-3302, Lumitone. Get rid of all those bags and the sad look under your eye. 800-894-3302, ask for Lumitone.
If you only want to lose 5 or 10 vanity pounds, sorry, but we can't help you. But if you seriously want to lose 30 pounds or more because you're worried about health risks like diabetes, high blood pressure, or cholesterol, we can help you, and the trial is free when you call 1-800-952-4105 in the next 5 minutes. We're Sensa, and our revolutionary weight loss solution is clinically proven to help you lose 30 pounds or more. And now, for a limited time, you can try Sensa free for a full 30 days if you call the toll-free number in the next 5 minutes. Sensa is proven through science, but works like magic. In one of the largest weight loss studies of its kind ever conducted, more than 1,400 participants lost over 30 pounds on average with Sensa, without changing their diet or exercise routine. If you're serious about losing weight and have more than 30 pounds to lose, call now for your free trial. Call 1-800-952-4105, 1-800-952-4105. That's 1-800-952-4105.
When you want a mortgage with historically low interest rates and a payment plan that runs on your schedule, at Wells Fargo, we're with you. That's why we've created automatic mortgage payment choices through the Wells Fargo Preferred Payment Plan, a free service available with any of our mortgages. Call, click, or stop by Wells Fargo and ask about our low mortgage interest rates and automatic mortgage payment choices today. Wells Fargo. Together, we'll go far. Wells Fargo Home Mortgage, a division of Wells Fargo Bank N.A., is an equal housing lender.
This is the Talk Radio Countdown Review, an overview of the hot hits in talk radio. Doug Steffen here, now focusing on lawmakers expressing concern and frustration with events unfolding in Japan. There are hearings going on this week to talk to nuclear regulators about what steps we ought to take to prevent the same kind of disaster here. Here are some of the highlights from the hearings.
Current information suggests that the plants are in a slow recovery from the accident. However, long-term cooling of the reactors and pools is essential during this period and has not been adequately restored to date, to the best of my knowledge. A massive cleanup operation obviously remains for the future.
We feel confident, based on the current data from monitoring at nuclear power plants and through the Environmental Protection Agency's system, that there is no reason for concern in the U.S. regarding radioactive releases from Japan.
So much of what we need to learn, of course, we're not able to know at this point in time because we cannot safely go into the facility. How long, do we have any idea how long we're looking at to get these units cooled down so that, in fact, we can enter the area, examine the reactors, look at the spent fuel? What do you anticipate?
I really can't even hazard a guess on how long that will be. But the reason that we're approaching with a 90-day lesson learned immediately.
The department has provided information to the government of Japan on radiation-hardened robotic capabilities available within the country. A shipment is being readied. I don't know if it has left yet, but there will be radiation-hardened robotics available soon, I can't say exactly when, in Japan, which could provide some of the information that that you're asking about.
More recent news, Reuters reported this morning that plutonium has been found in the soil at the nuclear complex. I think it was the reactor number 3 was the only one to use plutonium in the fuel mix. May indicate a breach in the containment mechanism. Could you speak to that?
Well, at least the reports that I saw were reporting trace levels of plutonium. And the report I saw was that it was still debatable exactly what those levels were derived from. All operating reactors, whether they start with any plutonium in the fuel or not, build up plutonium in the course of operation. So finding plutonium that was derived from either the operating reactors or the spent fuel pools would not be regarded as a major surprise. Certainly, it would be a concern if it were in significant levels. At least anything I've seen was that it's not significant at this point.
CNN's Brian Todd talked about the radioactivity from the damaged nuclear plants that has now been reported showing up in a dozen or so states here in America.
Tiny amounts of radioactivity from Fukushima have now traveled at least halfway across the world
as far as America's east coast. Particles believed to have come from Japan have been detected in the air or in rainwater in at least a dozen states. Is it a health risk? Government officials say the levels are far lower than the amount that would pose any concern, sometimes thousands of times less. We caught up with the health director in Maryland, where radiation from Fukushima was detected in the air and rainwater.
What does it mean overall that this has traveled all the way from Japan to now the east coast of the U.S.?
Well, you know, it shows that an environmental event in one part of the world can be seen, the echoes of it in other parts of the world. And, you know, when Chernobyl happened, a similar thing was seen. Radioactive material gets into the atmosphere and can travel around in the weather patterns. It gets diluted as it goes along, and by the time it gets to a place like Maryland, it's so small it's not a public health concern.
So far, no radioactive material has been found in drinking water or milk supplies in the U.S. The federal government is monitoring radiation as well.
We're on a rooftop in Washington where the EPA has given us access to a RadNet fixed air monitor. There are 124 of these across the U.S. It's a high volume monitor. It measures three times the amount of air in 1 hour that we breathe in one day. The air is sucked in under here and deposited on a filter right here, but measured with a gamma monitor and a beta monitor. Those measurements are transferred to a computer inside here where officials can come and look at it in real time. That real time data is transferred to a U.S. government lab in Alabama through this satellite dish right here, a cell phone transmission there, and also a fixed phone transmission. But officials do come up here and change the filter every couple of days, also to get more sensitive and accurate, redundant information.
EPA officials admit that about 20 of the 124 RadNet monitors in the U.S. were either down for servicing or not working in the days after the releases from Fukushima. But they say there are enough monitors all around that nearby detectors would still pick up anything serious in the general area of any monitor that was down.
Here's Radio Host Bill Carroll with Duncan Hawthorne attending the World Association of Nuclear Operators meeting about the hype and the hysteria that's spreading over some of the radiation news coming out of Japan.
Do you think overall, though, that their situation was so unique that we need not to take it overly seriously? Because, you know, there's a lot of panic and hysteria that's setting in. And talk of shutting down plants here in the United States, for example, sometimes 10 years earlier than expected. Is that too much of a reaction or is that appropriate?
No, I think we all know that there are some very unique circumstances here. You know, the seismic environment they were in clearly was a dominant feature in this. But that's not to say that we should be, you know, just discounting all of the lessons learned, Bill. I think it's, you know, it's a natural reaction here, which we're seeing right across the world, where people are saying, you know, could this happen here? Well, that's a kind of natural thing. I can understand that. But at the same time, as I've told many people, our plants, when you mentioned it just in the introduction, our plants have operated long, safely, with very little events to speak of. So we shouldn't forget that either.
Now let's get the latest as far as you've heard about this power plant in Japan and what's going on here. There's been a lot of focus in the news in this country while you've been away about reactor number 3 and a possible breach. When we talked about it last, it was one of a number of possible sources of this radioactive water that these workers found themselves walking in back at the end of last week. What are you hearing about the source of the water? Where is it coming from, or do we even know?
Yeah, at this point, Bill, we still don't know exactly where it's coming from. This is not a surprise to me. You start by containing the worst of the situation, and then you start assessing. We're starting to get left in places we haven't had any electricity in for since the 11th. And so once you start putting power on to see the magnitude of the damage that's occurred inside the structure, but they haven't yet pinpointed it to a single location. All the focus now is making sure that whatever's there stays within the site boundary.
Do you have any reason to believe it may not be Reactor 3? Because I think we talked about the pressure was holding there as far as they could sense.
Yeah, my money has been on Reactor for a bit of time, because if you remember on Monday, a week past, where we talked about hearing a loud bang at the base of Reactor 2, there's a suppression pool that sits there, Bill. It's not part of the primary containment. But when that happened, the pressure dropped in that area. So I think it's very likely it's going to be in that region. It meets all the characteristics because the readings are a bit higher around number two than around number three. Mm. But to some degree, it doesn't even matter which one it is. The important thing is to keep whatever's there in there. And so we've been pumping all the basement into tanks so that we can prevent it from going off-site.
Coming up next, Congress back in Washington. We'll take a look at the ongoing budget battle when the Talk Radio Countdown show continues.
This message starts with a great offer from Big Berkey Water Filters, because we don't want you drinking dangerous water 1 minute longer. Right now, purchase any filter system from BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com to get your choice of two Berkey Sport bottles, a KDF shower filter, a set of fluoride filters, or our new Cyclass spigot absolutely free. Why do this? Because over 60% of municipal water is fluoridated, and at less than 2 cents per gallon, Berkey Water Filters purify both treated and untreated water, removing dangerous chlorine, fluoride, and other contaminants. Big Berkey water filters are powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water, so they're perfect for rainwater collection systems and emergency preparedness. Remember, Big Berkey includes free shipping on every order over $50, and GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit BigBerkey waterfilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY. That's BigBerkey waterfilters.com or call today 1-877-99-BERKEY.
The largest part of gaining radiant health is detoxification. You can drink ionized water, cleanse your intestines, eat a perfect diet, and even take lots of quality supplements, and in many instances, only make minimal progress. What is the key to detoxifying your body of mercury, heavy metals, chemicals, and drugs? It is glutathione. Glutathione is the master antioxidant used to detoxify your entire body. It stops free radicals, keeps cells young, and reduces inflammation. One World Whey protein powder may be able to raise your glutathione production by 64% or more. One World Whey is more effective than any other whey protein powder on the market because it is unheated and from grass-fed cows. All other, quote, cold-processed whey protein powders have been heated and damaged by 15% or more. One World Whey comes in three delicious flavors. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325 or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworldway.com.
We're counting down what America's talking about. The Talk Radio Countdown Show continues.
I'm Doug Steffen, talking about what Talk Radio is focused on. That includes the battle over the federal budget. Everybody's getting in on this again at the National Journal Insiders Conference. James Barn talks to Howard Dean about the threat yet again of a government shutdown.
Governor Dean, I'll start with you. We'll go straight down the panel. Do you think there's anything to be said for a grand debate that is precipitated in part by a government shutdown?
From a partisan point of view, I think it would be the best thing in the world to have a shutdown. All these Tea Party people, half of them are dependent on Social Security and Medicare and all these other things. And when those checks start coming, believe me, their constituency is going to go even lower than it has been after the fiasco in Wisconsin. So,
I mean, as a practical matter, Social Security checks don't stop when there's a government shutdown.
No, but there's going to be a lot of talk about it. There's going to be a lot of nervousness, and there are going to be some things that do stop, and who knows what's going to stop. I mean,
so you would like a shutdown?
Well, I wouldn't like a shutdown from a statesman-like point of view, but if I was the head of the DNC, I'd be quietly rooting for it. Because I know who's going to get blamed. We've been down this road before.
But why? Okay, so who is going to get blamed and why?
The Republicans are going to get blamed for it because of Scott Walker. They appear to be intransigent and overreaching again, which is exactly what happened after 1994. They had this huge win. They came in there and they went too far. And the American people think they've gone too far.
Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid says the Republicans are refusing to talk about compromises in the budget.
The Republican leadership in Congress is keeping our negotiating partner on the negotiating table. And it's pretty hard to negotiate without someone on the other side of the table to talk to. Republicans have to resolve their own deep disagreements before we can find a middle ground between the two parties. We've tried to wait patiently for them to do that. Our patience and the American people's patience is wearing very, very thin. We have only 2 weeks before the current temporary budget expires. Time is not on our side. So it's time, I say to my Republican colleagues, get to work. Work out your differences. I once again remind the Senate that our willingness to compromise is in recognition of reality. We've already voted on a Democratic proposal and a Republican proposal. We've seen in practice, not just theory, that neither plan can pass unless it's adjusted. We all know that neither party can pass a bill without the other party, and neither chamber can send that bill to the president without the other chamber. Democrats have long ago acknowledged that we need Republicans to pass a bill. But Republicans still haven't admitted to themselves they'll need Democrats to pass this bill. Cooperation and compromise are not just good ideas. They're not political slogans. They're essential to the end game. With a cooperative spirit and a willingness to compromise, we can move the country forward. Without them, we can't. It's as simple as that.
Here's a sampling of some of your talk radio calls at 800-510-8255.
We have a lot of churches, mega churches, that don't pay any taxes on their real estate, and some of them own TV stations. And then there's like that mosque that they're building in Ground Zero. That's probably not paying any taxes. There's all kinds of religious organizations that are sitting on money. And the rumor used to be that the Catholic Church owned Yankee Stadium and Maiden Reform Braziers and a lot of stuff. They have a lot of investments. And so why shouldn't they pay some kind of tax to help us out in this time of need?
There's an easy way to drop the deficit, give it the perks and the Bush tax cut for the wealthy.
Why wasn't they jumping up and down during the budget? Because the two wars were funded, was never in the budget. Why weren't they screaming and hollering about that? And the second question, why the Republicans will not pass a bill saying that my Social Security funds that I paid into for almost 45 years go into Social Security and not the general fund?
What I can't believe is that they're cutting the heat assistance for low-income Americans in half. I think that's going to be the difference. It's going to be make it or break it for a lot of low-income folks that I know and so on. I think people are going to be choosing between staying warm and eating or, you know, paying other bills and such. I mean, there's tons of billions that could be cut in the defense, in the Pentagon's budget. I mean, there's tons of money that they don't even know where it goes.
I think we need to cut foreign aid out. We're spending twice as much now on schools as we was 2 years ago. And as far as infrastructure, I think we need to maintain our infrastructure, but I think we need to put a halt on building a lot more new roads for about 3 years. It would save millions.
The Obama budget, it still raises the national debt, and it will for as long as Obama is in office. And that's not acceptable. The only practical way to reduce the deficit and save this country from bankruptcy is to cut all the federal programs across the board equally. That includes defense spending, Social Security, welfare, food stamps, Section 8 housing, you name it. Everything has to be cut, and that's the only way that you're going to be able to do it, because otherwise every special interest group will block the cut, and it won't be enough to do the job.
Find out more about the items on the countdown in this hour and every hour. Visit the Talk Radio Countdown Show section at DougStephan, STEPHAN.com.